The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
I don't know where that girl learned to do what she does. It's got to be her mom. I'm just telling you. Happy Father's Day, dads. Wow, I didn't get to be the first one to welcome you, but happy Father's Day. I'm wearing some super dad socks this morning that I've been saving for today, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I told the girls, I feel like I can wear a hat today because it's Father's Day, so that's what I'm doing, all right? Nobody told me otherwise, so Nick's, is that a shake of approval or disapproval? I'm not sure. Approval. Okay. So happy Father's Day to all of you today. What a great Sunday. I'm so proud of you, dads. There's so many places you could be today. Some dads woke up and said, I'm going to go golfing today. Some said, I'm going to the lake. Some said, I'm going fishing, which, by the way, my grandfather taught me fish do not bite on Sundays. All right. I actually think he's right. It's proven true in my life. So, but you made a decision. You prioritized being in the house of God on this Sunday. Way to go. You're leading your families towards the things of God, and I'm just telling you, he will honor that. So I'm so glad to see you today. Today we're going to talk about a man that we read about in the Bible, and he's really a man's man. The last few weeks we've been starting in Hebrews chapter 11, and Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Fame for Faith, and it's just a listing of amazing men and women of God who we see their stories of how they lived out their faith, and they're honored in this chapter for having great faith. And we come to the end of the chapter, and we've already talked about all of these amazing men and women, and then the author of Hebrews 11 in verse 32 says, and what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about, and he lists a couple of people here, Gideon, we talked about him already, Barak, Samson, and Japheth, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets. It's like he keeps remembering all these amazing people. He doesn't know where to stop, and he says, these men, they through their faith, they conquered kingdoms, they administered justice, and they gained what was promised. If you remember, we've been talking for a while now about the promises of God. And here, these men are called out because they enacted their faith, and through their faith, they were able to gain what was promised. And I just want to remind you today, in case you need to be reminded, that our God is faithful. Do you believe that? He's made you some promises, and through your faith, you can gain the promises of God. I want to ask you to do something with me this morning. We do this most Sundays. I'm going to pause for a 30-second prayer. And here's the purpose of this prayer. My ask of you is this. God's word is powerful. It's active. It's live. It's ready for you today. The thing that we do in this prayer is we pause to position our hearts, and we say, it's real simple. We say, God, will you speak to me today? How many of you will pray that prayer with me today on this Father's Day? Let's do it right now. Father, we ask right now, as we open your word, we're opening our hearts. We ask today that you would speak not just to dads, but to dads and moms and kids and youth and every single person that's in this room. We have come to hear from you today, so we position our hearts right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. How many of you have watched the World's Strongman competition? Any of you, would you be willing to admit that you've watched that? Since I was a kid, I love watching this. I mean, what little boy doesn't want, and this is amazing, right? Like they have events, like they pick up the Atlas stones, right? I mean, literal stones, right? Gigantic, super crazy heavy stones, and I love watching it. I just really do. Or one of my favorites is they'll put a rope on like a fire truck or a dump truck or an airplane, y'all, and they'll pull it, right? Which, by the way, when I was a kid, I got inspired by this right here in this parking lot. I put my mom's car out there, and I tied a rope to it, and I pulled it across the parking lot pretending I was the world's strongest man, but her car was considerably smaller than what they use on the competition, right? Or how about this one? They have an event called the Fridge Walk. It's exactly what it sounds like. They put a refrigerator, like a commercial size refrigerator, on their back, like a backpack, because they're giant men, right? And they carry the refrigerator for max distance. Is this crazy, right? I love watching this stuff, right? This week, I was researching, and I found out that the 2021 Strongman Contest is happening actually right now. Today is the finale, so maybe by the time we get out of church or this evening, we'll find out who is crowned as the world's strongest man, all right? It's happening right now. A couple of weeks ago, the deadlift record was actually broken, all right? So this is one of those, if you've been to a gym, you've done this, or maybe you've seen people doing it, but they'll load up the barbell with a bunch of weight, and literally it's just, you just have to stand up. You just pick it up off the ground and put it back down or drop it. And so I was researching this week, I was researching strongmen, and I found out that on May the 2nd that the deadlift record was actually broken. And get this, the guy lifted 1,104 and a half, don't forget the half, pounds, all right? Obliterated the record. Would you like to see that this morning? All right, just notice that this guy's thighs are as big as my waist, all right? Just notice that. We have a video for you this morning so you can appreciate the deadlift record, all right? I could do this part, by the way. Is that ridiculous? Did y'all notice that the bar bent when he picked it up? Did y'all notice this? How crazy is that? I love it. I'm just telling you, if I ever lift 1,104 and a half pounds, I will absolutely, I'll do that, right? I might do it if I lift 100 pounds, all right? By the way, they asked me to compete this year, but when I looked at the dates, it ended on a Sunday, and I'm like, no, I want to be at Harvest on Sunday. I'm not going to be in California lifting weights, okay? Today, we're talking about the original strongman, okay? We're talking, you probably already figured it out. We're talking about a guy named Samson, all right? If Samson were alive today, he would beat that guy. I just promise you, all right? He would carry the refrigerators. He would pull the airplanes. He was the original strongman. If you think back on the stories of Samson, here's just a couple of his feats of strength. One time, he killed a lion with his bare hands, okay? That's manly. I don't care what you think. That is manly. He killed a lion with his bare hands. One time he killed 1,000. His enemy, they were called the Philistines. He killed 1,000 Philistine soldiers with the jawbone of a donkey. Now, I read some articles this week, and it says in the scripture that it was a fresh jawbone of the donkey, which makes me wonder if the donkey were dead before he went. I kind of have this idea that he looked around, he saw a donkey, he like broke its neck, ripped his jawbone out, and then went for it. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, that's who he was, right? He's just like, I'm a man's man. He killed 1,000 of them. One of my favorite stories is he gets upset, and so he catches 300 foxes. He ties their tails together and puts them in pairs of 150, and then he lights the foxes on fire, and he sets them loose in the Philistines' fields to burn the fields to the ground, right? Like, I've hunted fox. I've never, like, tied their tails together, okay? This is who we're talking about. Another story is he pulled the gates of a city off, okay? So he walked up to the massive gates of the city, ripped them off their hinges, put it on his back, and then carried it to the top of a mountain. Researchers believe that the gates of this city probably weighed somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 tons, and the distance from the city entrance to the top of the mountain was 38 miles. I'm just saying, like, this was a man's man. This was a guy you did not want to mess with. But men, especially ladies, you get to listen in today too on Father's Day. But men, just pay attention this morning. Samson was very strong, but he also struggled with some really big weaknesses. In other words, kind of the moral of the story for him is it actually doesn't matter how strong physically you are. All of us are susceptible. And part of what we learn in Samson's story is that you'll never be stronger than your weakness. As strong as you might be, right? And there's some strong men in this room. I'm looking around. I see some strong men. You'll never be stronger than the areas where you're weak. At the end of Samson's life, Judges chapter 16, verse 21, it says this. It's painting a picture at the very end of his life. It says, then the Philistines seized him. They gouged out his eyes and they took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to the grinding grain in the prison. So this is a sad picture. This is the end of his life. He's already, you know, done all the feats of strength that I talked about. He's defeated so many of the enemy. But here at the end, his eyes are gouged out. He's in shackles. And this word jumped out at me. He was grinding grain in the prison. That word grinding, just because today we talk about, you know, life being a grind, like it's just such a grind. And so that word jumped out at me, because maybe this morning, maybe you relate a little bit to Samson. You're like, man, yeah, life is a grind. I'm just kind of grinding through. I go to work and I grind. I come home, it's a grind. Everything's just, it's been so hard. And maybe you relate because you look at Samson. I think Samson in that place, he probably would have said to us, I never thought I'd be in this place. I'm the strong man. I never thought I'd be captured. I never thought I'd be a slave. I never thought I'd be in the enemy's camp in this way. I never thought I'd be the one that's in the grind. And maybe you relate to that because you assess your life on this Father's Day and you say, you know, I never thought I'd be in this place. I never thought, you know, that I'd find myself divorced. You look at your life today and say, I never set out, you know, to have an affair. I never imagined that I would have an addiction. I never imagined that I would be in this kind of debt. I never imagined that life would be this way. But today on Father's Day, I think if I could bring Samson on stage and we could talk about his life, I think one of the things he would share with us would be this. He would say, guys, failure is not final. I think that's one of the things he would share. He'd say, guys, all of us make mistakes. All of us fail. All of us, but failure is not final. In fact, we see this theme throughout the Bible. And one of the scriptures I'd point you to is this scripture in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. It says this. It says, the godly may trip seven times, but they will get up again. Guess what? Godly men and godly women make mistakes. Godly men and godly women make mistakes. It's not a prerequisite of being godly to be perfect. Anyone thankful for that? Because none of us would make it, right? I love this idea because Proverbs, it's talking about godly people, right? It's not talking about people who are not living for God. It says God, the godly may trip seven times, but they get up again. Listen, just because you make a mistake, it doesn't mean that you are a mistake. Godly men, godly women make mistakes, but then we learn from them. We turn to the grace of God. We fall into the arms of God. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, we get back up. So what can we learn on this Father's Day from the life of Samson? The first thing would be this. We got to learn from Samson. I'm not strong enough to overcome the enemy. I'm not strong enough to overcome the enemy. The dude that lifted 1,104.5 pounds is not strong enough to overcome the power of the enemy. You and I today are not strong enough to overcome the power of the enemy. And I hope you'll pay attention to this, because if you will, it will save you a lot of heartache. Here's what I know about men. It's hard for us to admit defeat. You could have said amen right there. It's okay. But it's hard for you. It's hard for us to ask for directions. Come on, man. Am I right? Some of you, you've learned this and you're like, nope, not for me. It's still hard for me to ask for directions. I don't like to do it, okay? It's hard for us to admit that we don't know how to do something, right? Like, these are just things innately inside of us as men, and for some of you women as well. It's hard for us to do this, and especially it's hard for us to admit that we don't have the power to overcome something. I was with three other dads this week. Between the four of us, we have 11 kids, and we were sitting around a campfire talking, and I don't remember what happened, but the kid, it's like the dads were having a conversation, and the kids were having a conversation, and the next thing I knew, I heard one of the kids say this kind of epic line, "Oh yeah, my dad can do it better than your dad," right? And I kind of laughed, and I thought, well, that kid believes in his dad. By the way, it wasn't my kid. I was like, come on, he didn't speak up for me, you know? Like, well, I could do it better. No. I was proud because I thought, man, this kid believes in his dad. This kid honors his dad. This kid thinks his dad is strong. This kid thinks his dad is capable. And truthfully, I think that's a healthy perspective for our kids. But I also think we do our kids a disservice if we allow them to believe that we are stronger than Satan. We're not strong enough to overcome the power of the enemy. And it took Satan a long time to learn this. Here's the mistake that Samson made, and maybe you've made it as well. Samson overestimated his own strength, and he had a lot of it, and he underestimated the power of the enemy. If you read through his story, you'll remember that his girlfriend keeps asking him, you know, she comes to him all sweet, like, please, please tell me. She flirts with him and bats her eyes. Tell me the secret to your strength. And if you remember, he keeps making up things, you know, well, if you just do this or if you just do that. And then he kind of has fun with it because she goes, oh, Samson, the enemy is coming. And he wakes up, you know, and rah, you know, and he kind of does his thing and he beats them all up and they run away scared. He overestimated his strength. Right? Because he believed, God's given me strength. I can overcome anything. But he underestimated the strength and the power of the enemy. So you just need to know today that you are not strong enough on your own. So what do we do? Well, the good news is that our enemy is strong and powerful, but he's also stupid and predictable. I'm just telling you, this: the enemy from Genesis to today, he's not getting more creative. He's not becoming more intelligent. He's not any better. He's still using the same tactics that he's used all the way back in Genesis, in Judges, in Samson's life, and again today. That's why I'm saying he's stupid and predictable. We know that the enemy, we know his schemes. If you read God's word, it tells you what his plans are. And I'm just telling you, he uses the same temptations over and over and over again. If you look at Samson, he used two temptations over and over. He used pride and lust. Pride and lust. It was just like this, I mean, this is the same playbook. Pride and lust. And you would think that Samson would figure it out because the enemy is stupid and predictable. But Samson continued to fall for the same temptations. And here's what you need to know this morning is that the enemy will tempt you in the areas where you are the weakest. And the way he does this is he uses the temptations that are the most attractive to you. Let me see if I can explain it this way. I'll use kind of a food illustration, okay? I personally am I'm a meat eater, okay? Do I have any other, like, meat eaters? You would just, like, I'm a meat eater, okay? Like, I have ribs on the smoker right now, right? I told Lisa, she's like, what do you want to do for Father's Day? I said, I want to smoke ribs. And she's like, you shouldn't have to cook on Father's Day. I'm like, no, I want to smoke ribs for Father's Day. I'm a meat eater. If you wanted to tempt me, okay, you might come to me with a rack of ribs. You might come to me with a big, juicy, medium ribeye. Not well done, y'all. That's wrong, okay? We'll have an altar call for that later, okay? You might come to me with a bacon cheeseburger. Heck, you could come to me just with bacon. You don't have to have the burger. Right? Are you getting it, okay? Here's what will not tempt me, okay? What will not tempt me is the best, the freshest, the most amazing salad. You could lock me in a room surrounded by salad and I would die, okay? I'm just like, salad's not tempting to me. It's just not, okay? Ribeyes are tempting to me. So here's, I'm having some fun with it. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The enemy knows your ribeye, right? The enemy knows your bacon, right? The enemy knows, and for some of you, you're like, no, it would be the salad. He knows your salad, right? What I'm saying is he knows what gets you going. He knows what tempts you. He knows what distracts you. So here's the deal. The enemy isn't going to come at me with a salad. He's going to come at me with a ribeye. And this is what we see in Samson's life, is that the enemy figured out the two biggest temptations for Samson, and he just kept coming at him with those same two temptations. So how do we win? Because I want to help you today. How do we win? Here's how we win, is we set up boundaries in the areas where we're susceptible. You got to set up boundaries. Now, men, I'm talking mainly to you because it's Father's Day. I'm taking advantage of this. And I'm just going to tell you right now, because I've talked to a lot of men in my life, men tend to not like boundaries. Because men don't like to be told what to do. Because men think they're stronger than they actually are. Because men think, oh, I'm not susceptible to that. I'm just telling you today, we are all susceptible. So the way we protect our marriages and our hearts and our spirits, the way we protect our family, the way we protect our finances, the way we protect ourselves is we set up boundaries in the areas where we're susceptible. We set up boundaries because we know that the enemy is strong and powerful. We set up boundaries to keep us safe. God tried to do this for Samson. If you read his story, God spoke over Samson when he was being born. And he had purpose over Samson's life, but he said over Samson, there's three things that you're not to do. You're not to cut your hair, which I'm trying to do that right now with my beard. You're not to drink alcohol, and you're not to touch the unclean. And here's the deal with boundaries, is so many times we look at boundaries and we say, well, why don't they want us to have fun? The boundaries are, they're keeping us from having fun. Can I tell you, I'll look at Samson, then I'll get to your life. God wasn't trying to keep Samson from having fun. God was trying to keep him from pain. Boundaries, they allow us to live the life that God dreams of us while keeping us from the things that Satan would try to trip us up from. I don't know if you're like this or not, but Lisa, my wife, my amazing wife, she hates driving in the mountains. Anyone else? She hates it. She hates driving in the mountains. Our youth just got back from camp yesterday, and Lisa was one of the van drivers for camp, and our camp's at the top of a mountain in Ruidoso, and so she got home, and she was telling me this story. She's like, I'm coming down the mountain. I'm praying the whole way, and she said, I kept telling myself, the brakes are not going to go out. The brakes are not going to go out. The brakes are not going to go out, right? She's coming down, and here's the thing, I don't know if you've been up that mountain, but there's no guardrails on that mountain, right? If that's you and you don't like driving on mountains, if you've ever been there, you appreciate when you're on a mountain that has guardrails. Why? Because the guardrails are boundaries meant to keep you from falling off the cliff, right? They keep you safe. And no one's driving on a highway and looking at the guardrails and saying, my gosh, I can't believe they don't want us to have any fun, right? How much fun would it be to drive off them? You wouldn't be here to tell us about it today, right? I'll use a different illustration. How many of you like roller coasters? Any of you? You like roller coasters? Roller coasters are fun, right? Now, I don't know what gets you going, if it's speed or height or twirls and dips and doo-doo-doos and whatever. I just made that word up. I don't know. I don't know what excites you, but just imagine, right? You're getting on a roller coaster. Our youth are going to Fine Arts in August, and we've already booked it. We're going to spend a day at Hollywood Studios, and we're going to ride some fun rides. And so you get in the ride, right? And the first thing they do is they come through and they make sure that the belt is buckled or the harness comes down and they pull to make sure that it's there. And I don't know how you feel, but in that moment, I'm thankful, right? I'm like, this is a good thing, right? I don't mind going fast. I don't mind spinning. I don't mind any of that. But it's a lot more fun knowing I'm not going to go flying out of the roller coaster. Am I right? If you don't believe this, just cut your thing next time, all right? Don't do that. Don't. Please don't. I'm just telling you, it's not fun when you don't have the harness to hold you in place. You got to set up boundaries. The enemy knows your weaknesses. That's where he'll attack. You are not strong enough, but you can be smart enough by setting up the right boundaries. Here's the second thing I think we learned from Samson is the enemy, So you're not strong enough, but the enemy isn't strong enough to overcome the power of God. Isn't this good news? So you're not strong enough, but the enemy's not strong enough either. He's not strong enough to overcome the power of God. If you are a follower of Christ, something happens that's so unique when you make Jesus Lord of your life. Now, the Spirit of God moves into your heart. He takes up residence. It uses this language. You become the temple of God. Now, it's not just you going to work. Now, it's you and the Spirit of God going to work. It's not just you going to school. It's you and the Spirit of God going to school. It's not just you going to the gas station or the grocery store or wherever. It's you and the Spirit of God. And this is so amazing. This gives you an advantage. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says this, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. All of a sudden, you're united with the Spirit of God. And this is such good news because now the enemy doesn't have to be stronger than you. He has to be stronger than the Spirit of God that's living inside of you. And here's another verse to encourage you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says this, my dear children, you come from God and you belong to God. You've already won a great victory over those false teachers, for the Spirit in you is far stronger than anything that is in the world. Listen, the enemy is stronger than you, but he's not stronger than God. And you need to be aware of this tactic this morning, because he will desperately try to get in your head and convince you that he's winning. And this is what happens near the end of Samson's life. Judges chapter 16, he's been captured. It says, the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate. Listen to what they're saying. Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. They are prematurely declaring their victory, right? Samson's been captured. His eyes are gouged out. He's in prison, and they're celebrating, right? They're saying, we have been victorious. Verse 24, and the people saw him. They praised their God. They see what's happening to Samson. They praise their God, a false God, saying, our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste to our land and multiplied our slain. In other words, he picked on us. He fought us. He killed our people. He's been taken captive. While they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison to perform for them. How humiliating for Samson, the strong man, the lion killer, the fox catcher, right? The jawbone snatcher, right? To pick the name. He's being humiliated in front of his enemies. Can I just tell you, the enemy loves to rub it in your face when you make a mistake. When you make a mistake, right, this is a powerful moment for the enemy, and he will capitalize on it. He will come and whisper in your ear, you have lost, you're a failure, you're never going to make it, you're not going to add up to anything, you're just like your dad, you're just like whoever. Like he'll capitalize on those generational curses. I'll never forget this. There was a defining moment where I had made this enormous mistake, and Lisa and I had, and we went to counseling, and while we were in counseling, the counselor had some really hard things for me. It was hard, right? But he's trying to help me. It was in love. And I remember we got in the car following that counseling session. We're driving away, and I don't know if you remember, like in the cartoons, like in Pinocchio, right, where there's like the one, the angel on one side and the devil on the other, right, and they're trying to talk to him. This, I promise you, I've never experienced anything like this in my life. We're driving away from this counseling session, and the counselor had just said, Jason, you're prideful. In fact, you're a narcissist, and you got to overcome this, all these things, and I'm leaving just defeated. And we're driving, and Lisa's talking to me. I couldn't hear anything she was saying because I'm telling you, I felt like a little devil was sitting on my shoulder, and he's whispering in my ear. He's saying, you're a failure. You're going to lose your kids. You're going to lose your marriage. You're going to lose your ministry. You're going to go down in flames. I mean, I'm telling you, it was like just so strong and so powerful. And I'm telling you, he was capitalized on that moment, because had I failed, yes. What he wanted to convince me was not that I had failed, but that I was now labeled as a failure. He'll capitalize. This is what's happening in Samson's life. He's at the end of his life. He's captured. He's doing the grind. They're chanting over him. They're declaring their victory. But you just need to know today, failure does not define you. But in that moment, you are vulnerable. Do not, maybe you're here today, and this is you're at that point. Listen to me. Do not believe the lies of the enemy. Do not listen to the lies of the enemy that would try to convince you that because you made a mistake that you are now a mistake. Listen, this is the moment. If you're there right now, this is the moment where God's grace shines the brightest. I'll go back to my story and I'll tell you this. I'll tell you that I had been a follower of Christ for a long time. I grew up in the church. I'd been there. I thought I understood grace. I'd sang about it. Heck, I'd preached about it. I'd read the scriptures about it. But it wasn't until this moment, as the enemy is shouting in one ear about all the failure and all the defeat and how he's going to have his way, it wasn't until that moment that I began to fully appreciate and understand the grace of God. This is the moment. This is the moment where God's grace shines the brightest. This is where you remind yourself, you're right, I'm not strong enough. But the one who lives inside of me is stronger. This is where you lean in to the strength of God. And here's more good news. Number three, God is strong enough to overcome my failures. God's strong enough to overcome my failures. The enemy is making fun of Samson, and he had to be wondering if it was true. Judges 16, verse 26, Samson said to the servant, so he has a servant who's leading him around because his eyes are gouged out, and he says to the servant, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. And now the temple was crowded, it says, with men and women, and all the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. And Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just one more time, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. He pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. And watch this. Thus, he killed many more when he died than while he lived. In his final act of surrender to God, Samson killed more of the enemy than all the rest of his life combined. Here's what I see in this, is that God not only forgives us, which I'm very thankful for, but he also uses our failures often to accomplish his purposes. Here was the promise on Samson's life. You got to go back a couple of chapters. Judges chapter 13, verse 7. Samson's not even born yet. And the Lord declares to his mother, says, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son. You must not drink wine or any other alcoholic drink or eat the forbidden food. Watch this. For your son will be dedicated to God as a Nazarite. And then watch this. From the moment of his birth until the day of his death. I never noticed this as I've read through his story before, but this week as I was studying it, I realized the promise on Samson was he'll be dedicated from his birth and he'll be used all the way to the day of his death. We've been talking about the promises of God. Here's one more example that God always keeps his word, that God is faithful. He promised over Samson. Listen, God knew Samson was going to mess up. God knew Samson was going to be prideful. God knew Samson was going to have issues with lust. God knew all of this, but he said, I'm going to use Samson all the way to the end of his life. God doesn't only do this for Samson, he does it for you and I. There's this cool verse in Romans chapter 11, verse 29 that says this, for God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. Listen, there's not a person in this room today who has not made mistakes, plural. All of us have made mistakes. Here's the good news. Stop beating yourself up. Stop living in the past. Stop allowing that to define you. Here's the truth, is that God's gifts, his calls, his purposes on you, they cannot be withdrawn. Listen, here's the beauty of the gospel. God works in our good parts as well as in our failures. In fact, it's often our failures where God shines the brightest. Because now we don't take the credit. Think if Samson had done all of this on these mighty feats of strength, and that's all we had of him. I mean, if that was his whole story, all we would be able to do is go, well, I'll never be able to measure up to Samson and his strength. But every single one of us can identify with his failures. So today, maybe you're evaluating your life and you're saying, I never intended to be here. What do I do? Well, there's some good news. Samson did two things. Judges chapter 16, one more time, verse 28. Then Samson prayed to the Lord. Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes. Here's two things Samson did. If you find yourself in this place today, that you can do as well. Samson did two things. Number one, he prayed. He prayed. What did he pray? He prayed this. He started like this. Sovereign Lord, remember me again. The word remember in the Hebrew has this meaning. It means to confess. What he's doing in this prayer, he's not just saying, remember me. What he's doing is he's admitting, he's confessing his sins. He's confessing his failures. Listen, when you mess up, you can have remorse or you can repent. Unless you're a psychopath, you will have remorse. Unless you're a psychopath, when you mess up, you'll have a moment where you have remorse, where you go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I can't believe I did that. Oh, my goodness, why did I do that? But for so many people, that's where it stops. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. What godly people do is they repent. What godly people do is they turn in that moment and they say, God, will you forgive me? God, will you have me back? God, will you accept me? God, will you forgive me and cleanse me of my sins? And this is what Samson's doing when he cries out. His eyes are gouged out, but he looks to heaven and he says, God, remember me. God, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. God, I thought I depended on my own strength, and now I'm depending on you. God, will you forgive me? Listen, if you mess up, you can't unsin. Don't you wish you could? I mean, I look back on my life, and I think, man, if I could unsin there and there and there, if I could undo that, guess what? You can't unsin, but you can repent. That's good news. You don't get to undo the things that you've done, but you do get to repent, and you do get to have the forgiveness of God. And then Samson prayed. This was the second part of his prayer. He said, oh God, please strengthen me one more time. And this is sad to me, but at least he figured it out in the end. It wasn't until the end of Samson's life that he recognized that he wasn't strong enough. It was the end of his life that the strong man realized that the strength that he had wasn't actually his own. And he prayed, Lord, strengthen me one more time. And here's the second thing he did. So the first thing is he prayed. The second thing is he pushed, right? He's standing there between the two pillars and he pushed. And it says this. It says, Samson put his hand on the two pillars. He put both hands, it says, on the pillars and he pushed. And this is significant because in the scripture, anytime it talks about the right hand, it's talking about strength. It's this idea that in the right hand, there's authority. In the right hand, there's strength. But the left hand in scripture signifies weakness. And I love this detail of the story that he puts both hands on the pillars. In other words, he puts the hand of strength on and he puts the hand of weakness. And this is such a beautiful picture because this is what God does, is that he takes our weaknesses and he adds his strength, and together we accomplish the purposes of God. It's beautiful. It's this beautiful picture that he takes our weaknesses, our failures, our mistakes, our faults, and he weaves his strength into it, and together we accomplish the purposes of God. So today, I want to pray for you, especially the men in the house. I very carefully crafted this message on the strong man for some strong men that were going to be here today. I want to pray for those of you that would be willing to admit today, I am not strong enough. I'm fighting a powerful enemy who wants nothing more than to destroy me. But today I'm ready to recognize that the Spirit of God that lives in me is stronger than anything that the enemy would bring against me. And I want to pray for those of you who you're being defined by a failure today, And God would say, I want to use you in your weakness. I want to magnify myself through your failure to accomplish my purposes. There's this passage in 2 Corinthians that Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh. Do you remember that passage? And it's this beautiful passage where Paul keeps asking God, will you take this away? Will you take this away? Will you take this away? And finally, God just keeps responding. He says, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. But take it away. My grace is sufficient. But I don't want this. Take it away. My grace is sufficient. And finally, Paul comes to this understanding. He says, so now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. I'm just telling you, men, if you're going to boast about anything, don't boast about your strengths. Boast about your weaknesses, because it's through your weaknesses that you're made strong. It's through your weaknesses that God is glorified. Why don't you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing one final song, and then I'm going to come and I'm going to pray for you this morning. And then you're going to go hopefully eat meat and not a salad. Are you ready to worship? Worship team, lead us this morning.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.